Okay. In talking about spiritual gifts, now about spiritual gifts, brethren, this is 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, before we'd received Jesus, that you were somehow or other led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's two points that are very important right here. Before you received Jesus, you were under an influence. Now, he's speaking to the Corinthians because the pagans at that time were idolaters. And you know what idolaters basically did then? When they worshipped statues and they worshipped in temples, they were worshipping the times and the seasons and the influences that made the harvest and all of this, right? How many of you understand that? They had a God that did everything. There was a God of the rivers, and there was a God of the harvest, and there was a God of this and a God of that. All the natural processes, and those, Paul says in Galatians, when you read it, chapter 3 and 4, they worshiped those who by nature are not gods. What they were really doing is worshiping the elements. And the elements are influences. They are the powers and principalities. When we talk about the wind and the rain and the sun and the heat and all of this, we're talking about influences. How many of you remember a story back in school where the sun and the sun and the wind had an argument, and they were going to solve it by whoever can make this man take off his coat, right, will be the greatest. And the wind blew, and he blew, and he blew on the man, trying to blow his coat off of him. But all that did is make the man pull that coat tighter to him. But the sun, he just shined in real radiance, right? And the man took off his coat, right? Because it was hot. And the sun won the pet. How many of you heard that story when you were kids? Am I the only one that's ever heard that story? Have now, okay. Well, can you see the influence that the elements had upon what the man did? And those are true influences, physical, right? Physical cause and effect, right? It's raining, I open an umbrella. It's hot, I take off my coat. It's windy, I pull my coat closer to me. Those are influences. And before, when we were sinners, we were led astray and influenced by these kinds of things, right? And you can see through the physical elements how you can be manipulated, or imagine how you can be manipulated through your desires, right? And this gives you an insight to how our powers and principalities work. So you were under spiritual influence before you received the Holy Spirit, weren't you? You were under a spiritual influence. How many of you can see that? All of us were. And if you weren't being influenced by God, whose influence were you under? Remember, all men were by nature objects of wrath. Whose influence were we under? Who's the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience? Who acted as the God of this world and the powers and the elements, right? Who acted as the powers and principalities? Satan. So, we by nature worshipped those before who were not gods, right? And we were taken captive by their manipulations, weren't they? In other words, you were under spiritual influence. Well, you know, I always find it amazing that people can believe in possession. Oh, the devil has possessed this person. That means, what does it mean that the devil has possessed a person? Doesn't it mean that there's a spirit living in him, like Legion, or many spirits? Or like Mary Magdalene, who had seven devils? Right? They're under control, and the spirit is actually living in them, aren't they? Controlling them. Influencing them. And there's various degrees of control and influence, right? You can be manipulated, or you can be possessed. Well, understand, and it's this way that you understand, and that it works in the same way with the kingdom of God. You're under influence. You're led of the Spirit to receive Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. How many of you see that? When a prophet had an anointing, he was under an influence. Right? Can y'all see that? Can you see the similarity? Only one for God and one for the other. Spiritual influence. So, Paul is making the point here. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know, when you were pagan, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray but to mute idols. All right? The idols were representative of these spirits. The idols weren't the spirits themselves, were they? They pictured. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, to say either one, that Jesus is Lord or that Jesus be cursed, is all about the influence of the Spirit you're under. Is this true? To whether say Jesus is Lord or Jesus be cursed is all about the influence you're under. Now I want to take this slow because you got to see it. You're going to have to understand that what is the gift of the Spirit? What is the gift of the Spirit? You know, just like a person can have seven demons in them, the opposite, you could have seven gifts, couldn't you? Couldn't you? Couldn't you have seven gifts? Couldn't you be like Legion, only the opposite, and have many spirits? Ooh. You can have a lot of evil spirits in you. Ooh, very good. Seven spirits of God. Sunflower Garden. I'm tempted to go somewhere, but I'm not. I'm not going to go there yet. You've got to understand that the gift of the Spirit given you is a person. It is the Holy Spirit. It is God. Right? That is the gift of the Spirit. Amen? Is this true or not true? All right. So the gifts of the Spirit, are smaller gifts that belong to that greater gift, right? So if the gift of the Holy Spirit is a person, what are the gifts of the Spirit? Come on now. They're angels. Anointings are spirits. They're angels. And every one of you was given an angel when you received the Holy Spirit. You have a gift that works under the administration of the Holy Spirit. In the same way, Satan has the head of the administration of all of his demons. And to say that you have a demon is to say that you have Satan, right? And that you're under Satan's influence because you have one of his guys in you, or two of his guys in you, or 12 of his guys in you, right? In the same way, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have some of his guys with you who work his gifts under his administration. No, that's fruit of the Spirit, right? That's not an influence. That's a result of the influence. All right, the influence itself, you know, the influence itself is different. We're talking about if you have the gift of healing, then you have an angel who's performing that through you under the administration of the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? You have an angel that's partnered with you, given by God. And the reason you're given this is not because you are super spiritual, but because you have not matured yet to walk by yourself. Spiritual discernment. Amen. You know what spiritual discernment is? It's an angel. It's a spirit of discernment, isn't it? Remember where it tells you to have a spirit of discernment? Right? It's not just talking about having some attribute of discernment. It's talking literally having a spirit of discernment that works under the gift of the Spirit. You have a gift of discernment, a spirit of discernment. And that's basically an angel tapping you on the shoulder and saying, look at this. Look at this. Did you see that? You missed it. Look at that. Why? That is how the angels come as ministering angels. Most people don't realize that the gifts of the Spirit are angels manifesting themselves under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Ooh. In the same way, you remember where that Spirit of God, remember that when God said, when that king went astray and wouldn't listen to God, God asked his angels, and he goes, who'll go down and be a lying spirit in that man's mouth, in the prophet's mouth, to draw this king out to war? And this one angel stood up and said, I will. And he went down there and he prophesied to this king through all of his prophets. He went down to be a lying spirit in the guy's mouth, in the prophet's mouth, so that it would draw the king out to war and God would destroy him. Remember that? You see how it works? The two great witnesses, that's what they have. They have those two angels. The one for the law and the prophets. There are two angels. The one's on the mercy seat. These two angels are given as spirits of ministry. That's how these anointings were given to these Old Testament prophets, these angels. Can you see it? They were given an angel who worked with them. All right? You've been given a gift under the administration of the Holy Spirit. All right. Now, but remember, like the Holy Spirit doesn't call attention to himself, it's not looking at them like they're people and angels, huh? The Holy Spirit doesn't call attention to himself. He's there to witness through you and to work with you, right? And the angels are the same way. They're there to serve you. They're not there to be personalities. They're not somebody you're going to sit there and talk with and visit with, right? Do you understand? They were and worship. Amen. Yeah. All right. So, when we talk about this, he wants you to understand, if you were under the influence of a spirit to say Jesus is cursed as a pagan, then now you're under the influence of a spirit to say Jesus is Lord. Right? Influences. Nobody, you know, in other words, men go according to whatever spirit runs them. Influences. Now, there's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There's different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. How is the Holy Spirit manifested in you? It's in this gift. Yeah, that's a little bit further down the line. You have to have a realization of that when, and not everybody does, but it is true. All right. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit, through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. So we all have a gift. And it tells you, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So everyone has a gift, at least one, don't they? That means every one of you have at least one influence along with the Holy Spirit in your life, right? That works through the Spirit. Every one of you have a Spirit working through you. Not just the Holy Spirit, but what's under his administration. And this is how angels are ministers, you know, minister to men. Now, so if you understand this, we can go on to say, now you are the body of Christ, and to each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, now I want you to remember, you as an individual, we're going to compare to the larger idea of the church as an individual. Just like you are a spirit that lives in a body, we're going to talk about the body of Christ as being one in the same way in a minute. And I don't want you to be confused by that, because it's going to be important. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, all those, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Of course not. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? Of course not. Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Of course not. Do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts? Now he goes on to say this. Now, these were given to the church, just like you were given a gift individually. You've got to start thinking that way. Gifts were given to the church, and gifts were given to you as an individual. So if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, now remember what he starts us out, I'll show you the most excellent way. So he's trying to tell you there's a different way other than the gifts. There's a different way other than the gifts. There is a different way other than the gifts. And that is the maturity of God's love being perfected in you. But right now, where you're starting out, God's love is not perfected in you yet, is it? You're just learning. Agape, God's nature and character. Is the nature and character of Jesus in you fully formed in maturity right now? Anybody? It's not, is it? So you're given gifts until you reach that place. The more excellent way is to take the path of love. Not to be dependent upon gifts, but dependent upon God in that relationship to grow and learn, right? I'll show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, in other words, I'm dependent on that gift, but I have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, the character and nature of God formed in me, if I have all of this, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. The most excellent way is to have the character and nature of God be built up in you, right? Now, so he tells us at the end of this, in chapter 14, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies or speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, you as an individual, but he who prophesies edifies the body. We could say that prophecy is tongues for the body of Christ. I want you to think of it in this way. Like your body, you have one language, a communion between you and God, right? It can be manifested as this gift of tongues, right? But it's only good for your body, right? Amen? It's only good for you if you speak in tongues. No one else is edified because they don't get it. Well, isn't this in the same way? Doesn't it tell you that prophecy is only for believers? Prophecy is only for the body of Christ. It's like tongues for the body of Christ. Because we as a body get it and nobody else does. It's God speaking to us as a body, as one. So prophecy is tongues for the body in the same way that tongues is tongues for you as an individual. Right? Can you see that comparison? All right. The point is, you need that gift in the same way that the church needs gifts. You need gifts to reach that point. They're like spiritual boosts of grace to help you reach a point you haven't reached by maturity and love yet. Can you see that? So you're given a gift not because you're super spiritual. You're given a gift because you're not yet super spiritual. How many of you can see that? And so when we read here in Ephesians chapter 4, remember where it says he's given to the church. It was he, Jesus, verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Why do you have tongues? So you may be built up, edified, right? Until when? What are the gifts given to us until when? Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So, when we as an individual reach maturity, you won't need to be dependent on these gifts, will you? And when the church reaches its maturity as one in its unity, we won't need those gifts, will we? Of apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists, and pastors. The gifts are given to bring us to that. So the more excellent way is the maturity of Christ in you. Right? The gifts are just boost until you get there. The gifts are temporary until you get there. You see that? So we understand that we're not given gifts because we're super spiritual. And all these people wandering around, well, I'm super spiritual, I'm a prophet. I'm super spiritual, I'm a teacher or a pastor. They don't know what they're talking about. Because that doesn't mean that they're mature. That's the grace of God at work. If what they say is true, and 9 times out of 10 it's not. But the only reason that you're giving gifts is to bring you to that place of maturity. Right? They're grace until you can reach it. Until you grow. The more excellent way is that the character and nature of God being formed in you. The gifts will pass away. You understand? The most excellent way is the character and nature of God. Agape being. Yes. Well, it will. Here in this last day's church, you'll begin to see it. First in individuals, and then in the main church. But that'll be during a time of persecution. Can you see that during the Great Tribulation when there'll be a decrease in the use of the gifts? Why? Why? Because the people who are undergoing the tribulation are mature, and they are dependent directly on God. They don't need to see proof. You understand? And at that point, it's too late for the world to see proof. That's the days of darkness when no man can work. You see, we won't be doing miracles and all this, you know, all this, be dependent upon all these gifts, because that's when the general character and nature of the bride of Christ has been perfected. And that's their test to show what they are. That's the test of their faith to show that it is gold refined in the fire. Right? You understand? But until that point, the church will see great miracles, and they will see great things that testify. You know, isn't that the point that Jesus stopped doing miracles? Is when he was led away to be killed? Right? Until his resurrection, he didn't do another single miracle, did he? He sat there and took whatever they gave him. Right? You see the point? The most excellent way is to grow in the character and nature of Christ. But we need these boosts of the Spirit. We need these windows into the Spirit. We need these boosts of grace until we reach that. We need that as individuals in these gifts, and we need that as the church in those larger gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. See? And they're given only until the body comes to a unity of the faith. And the purity of this gospel, right? To a maturity in Christ. And so it is with you as an individual. These gifts will serve you until your dependence is fully in that nature of Christ. The more excellent way. Amen?